Hello, my fellow Americans. I'm Bill Lipinski, and now I would like to introduce to you my partner in crime, the Honorable Ray Hanania.
I know you're going to start out as one of the protesters from the 60s, but I am Ray Hanania, and this is Two Guys on Politics, May 3rd, 2024, Season 3, Episode 14. And we're going to be talking about two topics. One is the presidential debates. I guess there are going to be some debates, but there's an argument between Joe Biden and Donald Trump about when they should be. And the big question is, should Robert F. Kennedy be included in the debates? He seems to be doing pretty big in the polls, 20%, 25% in some areas, although he's not in every ballot. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about the protests that are taking place in campuses and universities all over the country. Bill, what do you think of the debates? What do you expect was going to happen with those?
Well, first of all, I didn't expect Joe Biden to agree to the debates, but he has now agreed to the debates. I believe that RFK Jr. should be included in the debates. I
Yeah.
think he's doing quite well in the polls, 20, 25%, as you mentioned. I think the only possible way that they could prevent him from being in the debates is if he doesn't get on enough state ballots. Now, I really don't know how many he's on at the present time, but if he only gets on maybe 10 states or so, I'm sure that Biden's people would say he shouldn't be involved in the debates because most people think he will take votes away from Joe Biden. I don't know that he will, and I don't know how successful he would be in debates. It takes him an awful long time to answer questions. I think he's a very intelligent fella, but his answers are not made for television, believe me. He goes on and on and on and on. Then he goes on and on some more. So I don't know how successful he'd be in the debates, but I believe that he should be there. And I don't believe that the two parties should be the only ones responsible for who are allowed in the debates. At the present time, you have to get Trump and you have to get Biden to agree on allowing him in. And I don't know if you can get that, particularly with the Biden people. But in my mind, he should be in. I hope he gets on a lot more ballots so his candidacy is really legitimate. That's my feelings in regards to the situation.
Yeah, and I just following him a little bit, I see that little by little he's getting on more and more states, but you're right. I mean, he's what, on 10 state ballots, but he has 40 more to go, or possibly more, including some of the provinces or territories that we have. But yeah, I mean, so anybody that I think they're, I always thought that if you got 3% or more of vote or in the polling, that they would consider you to be part of the debate. And in Kennedy's case, as you mentioned, he's up to 20% in some polls. It wavers up and down, but it's still early. And I think that that means that there are a significant number of Americans that, support him, and they can't just brush him off and say he can't be on there. I think that I've read stories about how the Democrats are doing everything possible to keep him out of the election. Making it denying him Secret Service coverage. And I think out of all three candidates between Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Kennedy should be the one that should have Secret Service coverage before anybody, given the history of his family. So there's clearly a campaign to stop him. And there's clearly a campaign to narrow it to just the two candidates and be very convenient. But I think he should be on the on in any debates that they have. If they actually take place.
Well, that's very true. Whether they really take place or not is another question. But it's always been up to the two parties to decide who is going to be in the debates. I don't think it should be that way. I think it
I
should
agree.
be whatever network the debate is going to be on. I think that they should make the decision and who is, part of the debate. And I would say that I think all the networks should get together and send a letter to the Democrats and Republicans saying that we believe that Robert Kennedy Jr. should be part of these debates. And if you choose not to have him be part of the debates, we're not going to cover the debate live.
Yeah, that would be interesting if we had an independent media, like
Yes.
we did in years past, but we really don't have an independent media. They're like political organizations. In fact, I think the last time we had a machine was when Jane Byrne was mayor of Chicago in the 80s, and she pretty much decimated the machine concept. And then Richard M. Daley had his own Daley machine, but not really the same kind of machine. So today, I don't know if the Democrats and the Republicans can orchestrate a campaign to keep him out. I think people would be pretty upset, and I think it would hurt Biden. And it would hurt Trump if they were to publicly say he shouldn't be allowed. So I don't think we're going to hear either of those two, say anything because they don't want to hurt themselves, because they do know Kennedy has some following out there, even if it's 20 or 25%.
Well, listen, if Kennedy's in there, he has 25%. What percentage does Biden or Trump have to get in order to be elected president of the United States? I don't know exactly where, but it's probably someplace in the 30s.
Yeah, I think we didn't, I didn't look this up. I don't remember. I remember looking it up a number of months ago, but a president has to get, don't they have to get at least 51%, or do they do the
No.
Harold Washington thing where you just need 33% to run a municipality like Chicago?
No, you just need you need to get more electoral votes.
Correct. Oh, if you
No,
don't get the electoral votes,
you
though.
have to get a certain you have to get 50% plus one of the electoral votes.
Got it. From all the states and territories out there. And if you don't, then I think it goes into a process that's run probably by the Senate, I would guess, right?
House of Representatives.
The House. Okay.
That's
Just
the people.
shows you how well I did in history and politics in school. But
Not
but
getting
it did.
involved with that.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why you think it would hurt Trump or Biden to have Kennedy in the debate, given the way that Kennedy seems focused on these a lot of conspiracy theories? And I don't know if it's just the media that ignores his other issues and they're playing favorites, or whether it's true that he only focuses on some of these way out there issues like, the COVID vaccination being a deadly thing that we shouldn't do, and it was a ruse or whatever. And the only conspiracy theory that I'd like to see is, of course, who killed John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy. I think we need to see all those documents. So that's the only conspiracy theory that I think is legitimate. But if you put somebody like Kennedy on a stage with Biden and Trump, and he starts rambling these conspiracy theories and doesn't address the major issues like taxation, healthcare, crime in America, education, some of these other issues, which we haven't heard him really talk about. And again, I'm not sure it's because of him or the media, which I believe is orchestrating the censorship to keep it narrowly focused. I think that would help Biden and Trump. I just don't know which one he would hurt or help the most.
Well, I think it would hurt Biden because the Kennedy name is still magic amongst many, many Democrats. And I think that they would wind up voting for Kennedy simply because his name was Kennedy. And those people otherwise, I believe, would be voting for Joe Biden. So I think he hurts Biden.
Yeah, and as the media is very pro-Biden, they're really going to town on Kennedy. You don't see a lot of interviews with Kennedy. When major issues come up, they don't reach out to him, which is kind of unheard of, because who's that one independent presidential candidate from Texas? Do you remember his
Ross
Perot,
Perot.
Ross Perot?
Yes.
The media seem really excited about promoting him in the presidential elections,
They
and I
were.
remember him and his charts. You remember him and his charts in the first election?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was significant.
I agree. But who do you think Kennedy hurts, Trump or Biden?
I think he hurts Biden, and I do think he hurts Trump also. I think that when you there's, both Biden and Trump have these disciples these narrow focused disciples. It's not about issues. They love Trump. They love Biden. But I think that there are a lot of people in the middle. They don't have an alternative to turn to. So they gravitate towards the one closest to what they believe. So a lot of centrist Democrats probably turn to Biden. And a lot of centrist conservatives, I think, turn to Trump. Kennedy can, I think, kind of galvanize those people in the middle if he can present the cogent and focused campaign based on issues that really impact us. You know, I don't want to talk about COVID and the COVID vaccinations. I'm not interested in that. Like I said, there's only one conspiracy for me as a baby boomer, and that was the JFK assassination. But outside of that, I'm not interested in any of the things that I've heard him talk about.
Well, I can understand that. I can appreciate it. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, Ray, other than the fact that I believe he should be included in the debates.
Yes.
The debates should be better monitored than they have at times in the past. I mean, when Trump was following what's her name, Clinton
Nikki
around.
Haley?
No, Nick,
Oh,
no, Clinton.
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah. Now, I was not a fan of Hillary Clinton at all.
Neither was I.
By the same token, I didn't vote for Trump. But I mean, he shouldn't have been allowed to walk around behind her, you know, and make
Right.
faces. The moderator should have told him to sit down. I don't care if he is the president of the United States. In that
Right.
situation, you know, he should have not have any more privilege than anybody else.
But I think that there were a lot of people. I was annoyed by that also. The way he acted, almost like a baby. But at the same time, for me, the choice was Donald Trump, an unknown. You know, he could have been a Dennis Kucinich for all I know. I have no idea. It's coming out of left field and suddenly becoming a candidate, or Hillary Clinton, who I totally dislike because of her actions as Secretary of State. I just couldn't support her. So obviously I think Trump turned out badly as a president. He had some good ideas, but he couldn't get past it's like a pettiness was a magnet for him. If there was any petty little thing that would happen to him, he would focus on that and forget about the most important things that impacted the voters. It was always about him rather than the public. Biden's pro and I'm not sure that Trump would win the debate because I think he comes across too mean and too petty. Biden, on the other hand, I'm not sure. Sometimes he's cogent, sometimes he sounds like he knows what he's talking about, and sometimes he says some really goofy things. It would really be interesting, and I don't know if Robert F. Kennedy could actually present himself if given the stage. You know, it's one thing to be out there demanding to be on the stage. And never being out there, we don't get to see him, so we support him. But then when he gets up to the stage, you go, oh my gosh, is that who he is? So I think it's for the best interest of the American people that we see all the candidates for what they really are and give them a chance to present themselves or address the issues that are most important. I think it's for us, not the media, not the politicians. It should be for us, the American people.
Oh, I certainly agree with that. I have no quorum, you know, quarrel about that whatsoever. I hope they debate. It's good for America. I would like to know where Donald Trump stands on a number of issues today.
Right.
I don't know where he stands on the situation now between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Do you know where he stands?
Well, he seemed to be standing in a position where he can criticize Biden. So whatever makes Biden look bad, he's pointing it out and he's trying to criticize Biden. And Biden, sadly, seems to be trying to make everybody happy. He can't seem to take a strong position on one side or a strong position on the other. And I think that weakness has resulted, as you and I've talked about before, in the Israelis and other foreign nations and foreign forces doing things they might not have done if we had a strong president, that they were afraid of. I don't think anybody is afraid of President Biden or the United States today. And that really worries me more than anything.
Well, that worries me a great deal too. But I don't really blame just Joe Biden for that. We disagree on that point. I don't think Biden comes across as weak as a lot of people do. By the same token, Trump certainly presented a much stronger personality. It may have intimidated some nations into being less aggressive when it comes to attacking their neighbors or, trying to do things against the United States. Joe Biden definitely in the situation between the Palestinians and the Israelis, he's been strongly with the Israelis. Then he has been moderately with the Israelis. And now all he seems to want to do is to, get a ceasefire. So he's upset the Palestinians in this country. He's upset the Israelis in this country. And I think he's going to lose votes out of both of those groups. And I believe, I haven't checked it, but I believe that he was successful in both of those groups and probably won them by a considerable margin 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's ironic that the Jewish voters and Arab voters, Muslims and Arab Christians voters in this country, all the majority voted for Biden. There was no doubt about that. But today, the Arab and Muslim voters have abandoned Biden. In fact, that's the name of their campaign. And I think Jewish voters are upset with him, although they really don't like Trump.
No, they
But
don't.
I was talking to some people who are Jewish about Robert F. Kennedy, and they don't like him either. So I'm not sure anything is going to change. The only thing I see happening that would be good for this country is if Biden loses and Trump wins, we go back into turmoil, and I think that'll be the end of Trump, unless he becomes a dictator and tyrant and takes over the country. And maybe we have someone else who steps up to the plate, who hasn't stepped up to the plate today because of all the polarization. That's the only thing, and that's not to say that's a good 4 years that we would go through, with a very confrontational Trump who might be sitting in a prison cell at some point. And how that impacts it all, it's embarrassing, all this politics,
It
I think, for
certainly
the
is.
American people to see this happening, and it's terrible.
Yes, I agree. Definitely. To have a person that was president of the United States involved in what, four or five courtroom cases at the present time. And the one that he's involved with this hush money, I don't think he should have ever been brought to trial in regards to
I
that.
agree.
I
Yeah.
think it's a frivolous case, to be perfectly frank with you. And I think it has been motivated by people in the Democratic Party. Now, by the same token, the one where he's charged, almost with being the leader of the insurrection, I think that's a very, very serious case. And I think
Yeah.
that's something that should be fully adjudicated. I've made up my mind on it.
Yeah, and maybe I don't know if there's evidence, and it may be out there, that he actually supported the insurrection, because I listened to his speech. If just the average American would look at what he said, I thought it was his remarks were very supportive. He did not believe the election results. I didn't know. I thought free speech in this country meant you could be as crazy as you wanted to, and you could believe whatever you wanted to. But over the last 8 years, we have this new pattern where if you publish something on social media, they put a little note if it's not something that the social media likes, to say, oh, this is an incorrect fact. And I'm thinking, whoa, who are you to tell me what's incorrect? We don't have an adjudicator who I trust anymore, the way we used to be able to at least trust some of the media to say this was true, this isn't true. And it sounds like a lot of these things have become political. All it's doing is fueling more division in this country and making it worse. We're not the same country that we were 20, 25 years ago, where I think we were in a better position, even if we didn't see eye to eye on stuff. I think the disagreement was less contentious, less polarized, and based more on facts and fairness. I don't think that exists today.
No, I don't think it exists today either. And truthfully, I think the news media at times throws around the word the communist a little bit too much.
Right.
There are people in this country who are against this country, who want to change this country, who want to make this country a socialist country. And they are organized. There's no question about that. But they're not communist. But by calling them communists, it trivializes the impact that they are having on this country, as far as I'm concerned. And the news media continues to do that. Now, I'll joke around when I'm not on, camera about communism, all right? But
Right. No, I get it.
it's just jokes. So
Yeah.
I'm, Ray, we've got to find a solution to the problems
Yes.
that we have in this country. Otherwise, it's going to drive us right into the ground.
Now I'm going to take off on what you just said and say that we actually see the same kind of problem with these protesters, these Palestinian protest pro-Palestinian protesters and pro-Israel protesters. The pro-Palestinian protesters are being called anti-Semitic, in my opinion, because they're criticizing Israel. And I think it's okay to criticize an Israeli government and government policies. I certainly criticize Biden's government policies. I criticize Trump's government policies. But somehow, if I criticize Israel's government policies, I'm un-American and I'm anti-Semitic. And so I think that the media is playing into that the same way they are doing it with the politics. And I think that's a big mistake. Now, some of these protesters that we see, I mean, it's a huge movement of protesters. Some of them have engaged in anti-Semitism, but at the same time, about a third of the pro-Palestinian protesters are actually Jewish, who don't support Hamas and violence, but don't support Netanyahu's far-right-wing religious government, which in their eyes are destroying Israel and pushing them to the far right. So I think that we're off the deep end in terms of looking at this, but it's no different from what we saw back in 1968. How do you view these student protests that we're seeing across the country and the reaction from governments and elected officials?
How do I see it?
Yeah, what, how do you view it?
Well, certainly the Palestinian supporters have a right to free speech. And I do agree with you. There are members of the Jewish faith that are involved in these protests in behalf of the Palestinians. I would say, though, Ray, that there is a significant portion of the demonstrators that are truly anti-American. They are not really in there to help out the Palestinian cause. They are simply there to further divide this country. All right. Now, I think the universities, by trying to be arbitrators of freedom for everyone, have really, allowed this problem to get somewhat out of hand. I mean, you saw the situation at Columbia University, how they tore up that hall that was there. They broke the glass
Right.
in the doors, they destroyed some books and things like that. That should not have been allowed to happen. But I believe that's probably the outsiders. And I believe there are outsiders, as I say, who have been put into these various protests by forces that are anti-American. And I don't believe the universities have handled it very well. Fortunately, so far, there have been very little police involved in, I'll say, suppressing these people who are rioting, but they're not all rioting. Many of them are, very peaceful. Many of them get along fine with the, their fellow Jewish students. But I don't know what, I don't know how we get out of it. I mean, you cannot allow these people to take over campuses the way we have allowed them to do so. By the same token, if you want to move them out and they refuse to move out, what do you do with them? You're going to go in there and drag them all out. That happened in 1968 at the Democratic Convention. And it was not, forgotten for many, many, many years after. The Democratic Party refused to come to Chicago to have a convention because the leadership of the Democratic Party felt that it was the Chicago Police Department that caused these riots. By the way they were handling the demonstrators. Now, I don't happen to agree with that. I never went down to anything that was happening in 68, but I did watch it very extensively on television. And I really think that the Chicago Police Department was simply responding to these people in the way that they were demonstrating, protesting against the Democrats and against the United States of America at the time. And many of them were simply not demonstrating because they did not want to be inducted into the army and have to go fight in Vietnam. I understand that, okay? But I mean, their motives were not pure. Now, there's a lot of people who I'm sure had pure motives, but there was a certain group that certainly did not have pure motives. And I'm also sure that in those days, there were much more, many more people in this country who were sympathetic to socialism and communism than we have today. And I think that they got involved in those demonstrations to try to weaken our resolve in regards to the Vietnam War. And they succeeded in doing so. Now, I supported the war very strongly in the beginning. I finally stopped supporting it. And my reason was I felt that we were not fighting with everything that we could fight with. I'm not talking about, using the atomic bomb against anybody, but we did not have the forces that we needed to have in Vietnam. We fought, sort of fought that with one hand tied behind their back. And similar to what is happening today with Ukraine and Russia, I think we're not allowing the Ukrainians to fight all out, and
Right.
it all just end in disaster. So, I don't mean to go on so long about the situation.
No, that's okay. I think that people don't remember some of the things that you're pointing out, and they should remember it.
Well, no, I'm finished. The
Oh, well,
floor.
I was going to say that this the protest today that the governments in 1968, the elected officials in most governments made the same accusations about the protesters that they're making today, that it was an outside influences that are stoking the protests, that are supporting them. I was in college at the time, and just graduating, between high school and college during these protests. And of course, I enlisted in the military in the early 70s. At a time when the war was coming, was rounding down, but my draft number was low. I was going to be drafted, so I enlisted in the Air Force. But I was against the war, but at the same time, I was kind of in the middle. Like I like to present myself today, I'm in the middle. I was against the war, but at the same time, I believed in defending this country, and I didn't like the idea that the way we were starting to look, those videos and news reports of what was happening turned the American public completely against the war. And I think that's what TikTok is doing. TikTok is the new Walter Cronkite, from the 60s. They're the new Walter Cronkite today. Those videos of what Israel is doing in Gaza are just horrific. And it's hard to take a big issue like this and break it down to is it right or wrong? But I think you're right that there are some outside agitators. I think that students have an absolute right to protest and express themselves. I don't think that anybody should cross the line and engage in violence. I don't think anybody should engage in anti-Semitism. But I don't think the media is being fair. I think they focus on allegations of anti-Semitism, but don't say anything about the anti-Arabism and the anti-Palestinian violence and rhetoric that's out there. And they don't talk, when they talk about outside interference, they don't talk about the outside interference of a foreign government that's getting $40 billion from taxpayers just in the last 6 months, who are, I think, involved in orchestrating and organized the counter response and protests and influencing the media to only look at one side of this. So to me, the protests are just a small part of this. It's the hypocrisy that is tearing apart our country, I think, that is a bigger problem. But today's protests are very similar to the ones back in 1968. And I think that Biden should look back at 1968 and recall how the protests at the Democratic Convention, the police confrontations with students, and you and I both know that these students are going to be there in August at the Democratic Convention
No
in
question
Chicago and
about
the
it.
Republican Convention in Milwaukee. And that cost Hubert Humphrey the nomination. I think he was hurt by those protests. He did not come across very well, and Nixon won by taking the tougher stand, from the outside, saying that he was going to stand up to these commies and these. These leftists who support the communist takeover of the world. So I think Biden really needs to look at that lesson from 1968. I'm not sure he or his supporters have really done that or are capable of doing it.
Well, look at what those demonstrations across the country prior to the Democratic convention actually drove LBJ out of running for re-election as president.
Yes, they did.
And there were protests across the country against the war and against him. I mean, I remember the protesters chanting, LBJ, how many men have you killed today? And that had
Right.
a very detrimental effect upon him. So he wound up dropping out. And the protesters hurt Humphrey, no question about it. I think if there weren't protesters, Humphrey probably would have won that election. Now, I voted for Nixon in that election because I thought he was a very smart fella. I thought he had a great deal of information pertaining to China and Russia that Hubert Humphrey was not interested in. He was much more interested in, I believe, the domestic situation. Having been a mayor of Minneapolis, the domestic situation was always much more important to him.
Yeah, I voted. My very first vote was for Nixon also. And I've always been conservative. My family, and ironically, most people may not believe this, but Arabs are very conservative, Christian and Muslim. They're very religious. They used to be very Republican. But I think the policies in the Middle East have driven them away from their root political beliefs into focusing on what the US does, in our opinion, unfairly to Palestinians and how they unfairly support Israel. So it is a real irony, I think, for today's reality. But I remember it started out as all the way with LBJ.
Oh,
And
yes.
as you pointed out, it was later LBJ, how many people did you kill today? Something to that effect. I do remember the change was dramatic and devastating to the Democratic Party. And I think that that's one of the big this these protests are going to be a major factor in deciding the election. And it would be nice if we had somebody smart who could stand up, look at the lessons of the past, apply them to today, and find a solution that addresses justice and fairness in the proper way.
Well, if Biden is driven, from running for a second term by protesters, this is probably a question for another program. But who is going to take his place as the Democratic candidate?
Yeah,
Uh,
that
I
is the
don't
big
know.
question.
And
I don't see it either.
if something happens to Trump where he is convicted and he has to go to jail or prison, and the Supreme Court rules that he can't run for president from prison, who are the Republicans going to get to replace him? And what do you think his supporters are going to be doing?
Yeah, I think those are big questions that we can't see the answers to. That we may look back on with regret a year from now when we look back at the election of the president in November and what happened and what the issues and factors were. Those are going to be some serious things that we're going to sit back and say, how did we let this happen?
And I don't think the news media is preparing the American people for this potential problem that is right over the horizon.
Yep. I think it's going to explode in August in Chicago at the Democratic convention. And I'm not sure which, whether it's the Republican convention first and then the Democratic convention. I know the Republican convention is in Milwaukee, which is less than 90 minutes away. I think even an hour away from Chicago. So
Wonderful.
we're going to be into a very rough summer. And it'll be interesting to see how that works out. So,
I don't know
anyway.
what convention goes first, nor do I know if they are, if it's one right after another. If it's one right after another, the protesters will have it very easy. They just move from Chicago to Milwaukee or Milwaukee to Chicago. They won't have to go home or, they'll be hot and heavy to protest in the next city, I'll tell you.
All right, Bill. Listen, I think we talked through these a lot. I don't know if there are any final thoughts on anything you wanted to bring up.
I just wish everybody in America would realize what a great country they lived in, how many advantages we have here, how many great things that we have here. And we've had some problems, yes, but we should be able to overcome these problems and unite this country once again. And I hope and pray somehow that happens.
And the only last thing I was going to say was this Sunday is Orthodox Easter, and I never could understand the mainstream Easter taking place before Passover. So the Jewish Passover just ended, I think, this past week, and now the Orthodox Easter is following because, in the biblical terms, Passover happened first with Jesus and the disciples and all the different things that took place. And the Easter then and the resurrection took place after the Passover. So I think that for the all you Christians out there who celebrate the early Easter, you should come over to the Orthodox Easter, which is a Sunday, May 5th, which is sequentially chronologically correct in terms of history and religion.
Well, unfortunately, I can't agree with you on that, Ray, because the one true church in America and the world is the Catholic Church, and we celebrate it early, so we must be right.
All right. Well, God bless you all, everybody. And you too, Tiny Tim. Right, Bill, I'm Ray Hanania.
I'm Bill Lipinski. Until next time, my fellow Americans, enjoy your country.
Let's see. Oop, hold on 1 second. Sorry. Ah, there it is.